This is Digital Story Podcast number 739, May 19th, 2020. Today's theme is New Capture One Pro and More. I'm Derek Story. Capture One Pro continues to roll with its latest release that features new tools, RAW support, including the EM1 Mark III, lens profiles, and a discounted version for Nikon users. Plus, here's a way to put your skills to use to help small businesses in your community. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. So there is so much to cover in this 0.1 release of Capture One Pro 20. Oh, it's so much fun when we get new software, new things to look at, new tools to work with, and we have that today. So I'm going to talk about the features. I'm going to talk about compatibility, new RAW profiles, all that good stuff, plus a new discounted version for Nikon users. So lots to unpack here. Let's get to it. So first of all, Capture One Pro 20, this update, 20.1, is free to existing users. So if you already have a license for 20, then run, not walk, to your software updater and get this right away, because it's got some stuff that I have been waiting for some time. First of all, we have new heal and clone tools. Now, I'm not going to say that the heal and clone tools before were bad, because they weren't. Let's just say that I did not enjoy using them. I did not enjoy you. The thing that drove me most crazy on previous versions is that you could only do like one heal per layer in the old version of Capture One Pro. And that just drove me nuts, because I don't know about you, but I usually have more than one boo-boo in my photos, and I don't want to have a bunch of layers. Now, all of that has changed. It behaves the way you want it to, the way that you think it should. You still create a new layer, which is super easy in Capture One. And it's either a heal layer or a clone layer, like before, but that's pretty much where the similarities end. Now you can just heal all over the place, or clone all over the place on each layer. You have all sorts of control. It really is smart about where it picks, what part of the photo it picks to sample when you're healing, so you hardly ever have to do anything. However, if you want to tweak that a bit, it's super easy just to move the sample point a little bit up, a little bit down, however you want to do it. You can make all sorts of adjustments, or you can just like let it do its thing. And this is exactly what I want in software, because sometimes I just want to let it do its thing and I just want to focus on the image. Other times I want to get real precise about what I'm doing and take control. This allows that, and I'm so happy to have those two revised tools in Capture One Pro 20.1. Another thing that we have, something that I actually really didn't fall in love with but got used to in Luminar, was the before and after with the sliding curtain. And I like that a lot. So we have that in Capture One now. And there's two ways that you can do before and after. First of all, you just have a simple keyboard shortcut, the Y shortcut, to enable it. And then, and you also have an icon up on the toolbar. And then you can choose between the straight before and after, where you hit the keyboard shortcut, or you press on the icon and you get the before, and then you get the after, just like the way we're used to. Or you can tell it to do sliding curtain, so that in the same frame, you can see the before version and the after version, which is super helpful. And that's what I'm using for the illustration for this week's podcast. So you can take a look at it there. So yes, finally. And before and after, I can't believe what a slow train that has been. This application is so smart, it's so powerful, it's so professional in 99.1% of the ways. But the before and after was always something that just sort of lagged behind. First, we didn't really have it at all. And then we had some kind of thing where you held down the option key when you pressed the undo button, the undo all button, which was better than what we had before. But, you know, now they got serious about it, and this is really terrific. They've done something nice for new users, people who are just coming to the application. The activation and onboarding flow is much smoother. It was always a little clunky. You always felt like, you know, you had to go through too many steps to start the application for sign up, and you get your registration, all that kind of stuff. Smoothed all of that out. Now, here's something that I'm as excited about as I am Heal and Clone and Before and After, which is they now have Nikon profiles in the application. Now, they've always supported Nikon cameras, but now they're doing something very similar to what they're doing with Fuji and Sony, where, like with Fuji, you can have the film simulations in Capture One Pro. So you can just shoot raw and then apply the Fuji film simulation in C1P. Okay, now we can do the same thing with Nikon picture controls. They are available in Capture One Pro. You just go to base characteristics and they're available in the ICC profile menu. They're only compatible with some of the cameras, the more late ones. I'm going to give you all the cameras right now so that you can be the appropriate level of excitement depending on which camera you have. So for the Nikon, D6, D5, D850, D810 and 810A, D800, D780, D750, D610, yay, mine made it, Z7, Z6, D500, D7500, D5600, D5500, D3500, D3400, D3300, and the Z50. Alrighty. So if you have one of those cameras and you're using Capture One Pro 20.1, you have the Nikon picture controls available to you in the application. That means you can apply them to a RAW file there in the app and just play to your heart's content. You don't have to worry about doing it in the camera. I love this. I've been doing it with my Fujifilm X100V, and now I'm going to do it with my Nikon as well. So very, very nice. Now there's a new RAW support also. This is just an odd mix of cameras, I have to tell you, because there's some cameras on here that I consider kind of old. And then there's one that isn't even released yet. So we've got the whole gamut here. Here are the cameras, though, that have the new RAW support. The Canon 250D. The Canon PowerShot G5X Mark II. That's one of them, right? Canon PowerShot G7X Mark III. Nikon P950. The Leica M10 Monochrome. The Olympus EM1 Mark III. This one should have been in there a while ago, kids. I'm telling you, just like with the PowerShot G5 and G7. Phase 1 IXH150. And then they have RAW support for the Zeiss ZX, which isn't even out yet. I went and checked. There's a catalog page for it on B&H, and you can sign up to be notified, but it's not even out yet. But they get a RAW profile right now. Okay. I'm not going to say anything, I'm just happy that my EM1 Mark III is now supported in Capture One Pro 20.1. They also have a new Nikon version, okay? So, well, you know, they've done this for Sony and they've done this for Fujifilm. It's called the Express version. And basically, the application only supports Nikon cameras, but you get most of the editing tools, not all of them. For example, you don't get layers in the Express version, but you get pretty much all the stuff that you need, including that fantastic RAW processing. But you can get Express for $99 a year via subscription or $129 for the perpetual license. And you compare that to $278 for the perpetual license for the Pro version that supports all the cameras, you can see you can save yourself quite a bit of money if you only shoot Nikon. This also applies for Fujifilm and Sony. They also have Express versions at the same prices for them. So if you shoot one of those three camera brands and you shoot expressly with those brands, in other words, you don't shoot with other stuff, then, you know, this version may be worth looking at. You can save yourself some money and, you know, get that processing when you want it for these cameras. I have the pro version that covers all the stuff because I need it, and I have all these different cameras that I have to test all the time. So I have to pony up. I'm not done yet with this version of the application. They also have an improved Lightroom importer. They have been working hard to lure dissatisfied Lightroom customers to the Capture One Pro world of image processing. And they have done so with some success, I must say. And now they have made the importer even better. They provide a better, what they call, transition experience. They say it's now clear what will happen and when you expect when importing your Lightroom catalog into Capture One. They have an importer, and they also have one for Aperture, by the way, boys and girls, just in case you didn't know that as well. Let me read you one paragraph that talks about the Lightroom importer. This is from Capture One Pro. It is now possible to import offline images, smart previews in Lightroom, and have them automatically sync up once the original files become online again. For example, when an external drive containing these images is reconnected, files that failed to import will be compiled into a list to handle after the import is complete. This list will include files from unsupported cameras or file formats that are not supported in Capture One. Alrighty. So, yes, if you're thinking about making the transition or moving a library from Lightroom into Capture One Pro, they have made that process easier as well. So this is a really nice point one update because we get the new tools or the updated tools. We also get these Nikon profiles, which if you're a Nikon shooter, you're going to be excited about. The RAW support finally kind of shored things up there a bit. And plus made a smile with the Zeiss ZX. I mean, is the Zeiss ZX ever going to come out? Seriously? I mean, it is like, it's not a unicorn, but it has a horn, right? We'll see. When it comes out, then, you know, when you can actually buy this camera, then I will retract all my snarky comments about it. I mean, I love the camera. I want to see it. It's just, I've just heard about it, seems like, for like 2 years now. Still can't get it. But yet, it has RAW support in Capture One Pro 20.1. That just makes me laugh, sitting here with my EM1 Mark III. So that is it for Capture One Pro 20.1. It's a nice update, really good stuff. And I have to tell you that I love RAW processing with this application, with all the cameras that I use. And now it's going to become even more fun with my Nikon, and especially more fun with my Olympus EM1 Mark III. Speaking of Capture One Pro 20, you can learn it in just 2 hours. Yes. This is a plug for my training at LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com, but I feel very confident about talking about it because I love this training. I love this training. I just finished it, earlier this year. It's a terrific training. The reviewers, you know, I have to go through this QA process, quality assurance process at LinkedIn before my trainings can be published, and they're tough on me, especially on the ones that publish for both Windows and Mac, you know, because I'm doing it on a Mac, but yet I'm talking about Windows, and I always manage to like make a mistake somewhere. On this training, they liked the whole training. They really enjoyed it. They thought it was fun and they learned a lot. Those are tough customers, I tell you. So anyway, the name of the training is Capture One Pro 20 Essential Training. And I have links to it on LinkedIn Learning. And I also have the link to it on lynda.com. And the bottom line is, in about 2 hours, you can really get up to speed with this application. I give you a nice overview. I give you a quick start, which I think is kind of fun. I started doing that about a year or two ago for my software application. I get a quick start so you can just like watch 5 movies and go from start to finish with a shoot and, you know, kind of get the lay of the land. And then I really get into the editing tools. I help you a little bit with management, just get you comfortable with this application in a minimum amount of time. And that's what's, you know, really helpful about this. So if you're thinking, hey, I'm thinking about downloading the trial version of Capture One Pro, here Derek's talking about it, or my friends are talking about it, I want to see what it's about, so you can get the 30-day trial. Then you can follow my movies on LinkedIn Learning or lynda.com and then see, hey, do I want to go forward with this or not? You will know after you have the trial and after you watch my movies and practice with it a bit whether it's right for you or not. Help your local businesses with photography and social. This is something that I wrote about over the weekend, and it's really based on a podcast that I heard on The Daily, which is done by the New York Times. And they were interviewing a woman in Louisiana. And those of you that listen to The Daily, you'll probably know which podcast I'm talking about. And she and her husband had started a restaurant there, and they were so excited about it. They have two daughters, and they really felt like that they had something here. They had the right kind of mix of cuisine and in the right place, and they were getting very popular. And this is all before the pandemic. And things were rolling for them. Now, in their case, they had so much confidence in this project that they mortgaged their house, or they leveraged their house in order to get the business loan for the restaurant. And so their house, their home, is tied to the success or the failure of the restaurant. And then coronavirus pandemic hit, and now it's tough for them. And they're trying to keep going. They're offering curbside and all that stuff. But the thing that clicked in my brain when I was listening to her talk, you know, other than just this tremendous empathy for her, was that how hard it is sometimes for people who are really good at running a restaurant and really good at making food and serving people, how hard it is for them to manage the other side of it, the social side of it, you know, the website side of it, all that kind of stuff, to get the word out, to let people know what they're doing right now so that they can continue to have customers during this very tough period, so they can hang on during this very tough period, and then hopefully come out on the other end. Like I said, I was listening to her talk. I was thinking, man, I could help you with this, you know? And so then I was thinking, well, what can I do right now? Or what can we do right now? We have these skills. You know, almost everyone in this community has photography skills and storytelling skills, and usually some type of social platform. So what I thought was, and I'm finally getting to the point now, is that what if once a week I went to a different local restaurant, one that was doing curbside pickup, and, you know, bought dinner for my household and photographed them, asked them permission, of course, and say, hey, I want to take your picture. I want to put it on social. I want to let them know that, you know, you're open for business and you have basically your full menu available, and it's easy. You just call. It's contactless. I can pay when I'm on the phone and even add the tip when I'm on the phone, and then I just come by and I just get the meal from you. You're wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask, and this is a beautiful thing. You're charging regular price and I'm coming and getting it from you. In fact, I'm even going to give you a tip on top of that. And I'm going to take your picture and I'm going to put it on social, and I'm going to use a hashtag open for pickup, with four being the number four. So I thought, what if we did that? What if all of us did something like this? In other words, we have our favorite restaurants, the local ones. I'm not talking about the chains. The chains to me are in a different category. And yes, I'm concerned about them as well, but I'm more concerned about the local restaurants, you know, where they only have one and they have basically everything invested in this one establishment. Those are the ones I'm really worried about right now. So what if we all just once a week or once every 2 weeks went to one of our favorite local restaurants, ordered a meal, picked it up, took a picture, got the name of the person that's in the picture, make sure we show the restaurant, make sure we have the location I use geotags for mine, and I'm using the Fujifilm X100V, which will geotag my images for me. I mean, I could shoot it with the iPhone too. I like the raw files from the X100V a little bit more. And plus in Capture One Pro, I can do film simulations, all that good stuff. But anyway, get the geotags and then put it on whatever social network you're a part of. I've been putting them on Instagram, and then I have them propagate out to Facebook and Twitter. And then I'm using the hashtag OpenForPickup. And you know, it's one thing to have me do it. It's another thing to have, you know, my friends do it. But if a whole bunch of us that are part of this community started doing that, I really feel like we could help some of these local businesses, because then other people would know, people that follow us, people that read our stuff would know, hey, I didn't realize that they had their full menu available for curbside pickup every day. I love that place. I'm going to order something and go myself. You know, I didn't realize that they had such a nice setup. You know, I see a picture and wow, look at that setup. It's really kind of cool. Oh, and I know the person there, even though she has a mask on. Yeah, I feel like we need to do stuff right now. I mean, we're at kind of a critical point. We've been sheltered in for 60 days, most of us. Okay, that's fine. Now things are starting to open up a little bit, and we can help a little bit. And I think the next 60 days is when a lot of these businesses are really going to feel the severe challenge. The next 60 days are when they're really going to need us. It's just an idea I have. If you like this idea, I ask that you do it. I ask that you do it, that you order some food, you take a picture, you put it on social, and you add the hashtag OpenForPickup. Let's help these folks out. And at the same time, you know, we get a great meal out of it. I mean, this is a win-win if there ever was one. I wanted to mention that I really appreciate some of the notes I've been getting from our community about the film camera shop. I was hoping that you guys would like it, you guys and gals, and I'm really happy to hear that you do. If you haven't tuned in for the last couple shows, basically what it is, if you have a film camera that you have found or forgotten about and found, you know, through maybe shelter in place cleaning, and you want to donate it so that I can refurbish it, get it all ready to go, put it in the film camera shop, get it in someone's hands who really loves film photography, a lot of times as a student, then all you have to do is use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer and just say, hey, I've got this or I got that. I'll get back in touch with you and I can send you the box. It's all folded up. I can send you the box and the return shipping label and even a little packing material. All you have to do is, you know, unfold the box, tape it up, put the camera in, put the label on it, and then just have USPS come pick it up at your front door. They'd be happy to do that. That's how my deliveries are going out now, because I can't go to the post office anymore. So they're coming and picking them up right at my front doorstep here. If you're interested in doing that, just go to thenimblephotographer.com, use the contact form, let me know what you have. I really appreciate all of you who have gotten in touch with me over the last few weeks, and I'm looking forward to hearing from more of you. I have a few things to cover on our virtual camera club business, and I want to start out with the workshops. And there's a reason why I haven't talked about them much lately, because like everyone else, I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, what we can do, what we can't do, all that kind of stuff. Humboldt had to go by the wayside. It's postponed till next year. Everyone knows about that. But we were wondering what might happen in July with our Lassen workshop. And that's where we stay at Lake Almanor and we go to Lassen Volcanic. And it's a terrific workshop. Really looking forward to having it. But it doesn't look like we're going to be able to have it this year, this July. It's just a bit too early. The county there isn't open to outside visitors yet. There's a number of things going on. There are a number of things that we would have to put in place that isn't practical for a workshop where we all live, you know, in in one, even though it's a very big cabin, it's still all in one place. And so as I went over all the details, as I coordinated with our cabin host, Susie, who has been great about, you know, seeing, you know, what unfolds and, you know, not rushing to judgment. But we decided that it was in the best interest of the participants that we move that workshop to next year, because July is just a bit too early. Things are just too difficult to predict right now. And I want to make sure that when we do have this workshop, that we can really have a great time and have fun and just have it be the kind of experience that I like our workshops to be. So the July workshop right now is postponed to 2021, and hopefully things will be sufficiently sorted out by then so we can have it. I'm crossing my fingers on that. I think chances are very good that we will be able to have that workshop next year. So the one workshop that we're still kind of waiting to see is our Eastern Sierra workshop that is in October. Right now, my gut feeling is that I think we will be able to go ahead with that workshop. I'm feeling like it's going to be a go. So right now, all the folks that are on the reserve list, just sit tight, and I'll be touching base with you. I'm probably going to come back around your way in June. We'll know a lot more. We'll know a lot more about what's happening in California in June. So that we'll have plenty of time to make a final decision well before we get to October. Right now, it's a go, and I'm crossing my fingers that we'll be able to at least have our last workshop of the season this year. So that's an update on the workshops. If you have any questions about them at all, you can use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, and you know, just let me know what's on your mind, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Want to give a big shout out to our friends in our inner circle. These are the folks that support our podcast month in and month out. We have such a great crew right now. We've grown over the last month. I think we're going to continue to grow. I got some more goodies coming for inner circle members, for Patreon members. If you're interested in becoming a part of this elite group, these folks that support our show, our community, and our new endeavors, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over to the site, take a look, see what you think. Maybe you'll consider joining us. I'd love it if you did. We have tiles for B&H and Amazon on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you're going to buy something, especially something that I've talked about, if you will click on those tiles first and then do your shopping, that helps support the site. Those are affiliate links, and we will get some credit for the purchases that you make, but it won't cost you anything more. And finally, I'd like to give a huge thank you to our friends at Red River Paper, our longest running sponsor. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And this is where you go for anything that you need related to inkjet printing. Paper, fine art greeting cards, envelopes, glassine sleeves, ink, tutorials, reviews. I know, all in one place, right? All in one place. They are fantastic people. Inkjet printing is just a beautiful art, and especially when it's your pictures that's coming out of the printer. That is a feeling that is hard to describe, how good, how wonderful it feels. When you have created something from start to finish, Red River Paper can help you do that. Click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. See what they're up to and make something beautiful. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on something really interesting for next week. You've got to come back and join me. Until then, stay safe. Have a fantastic week. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.